Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome back inside the Quicken Loans studios at Yahoo Sports Radio right here in Houston. Things continue to heat up with the NBA Finals, but in our next segment, hey, we're going to open with some college basketball news. And of course, on last weekend's show, we discussed Fred Hoiberg's departure to the NBA ranks after his time at Iowa State. And of course, big news this week as the Cyclones have hired Murray State coach Steve Prohm to fill the vacancy. It is so nice to have back with us Lee Klein. He is on the road. He's actually in Orlando, Florida at UCF. As the five-star basketball camp, it is underway this weekend. An ambitious weekend for Lee Klein. Good evening, Lee.
Hey, good evening, Alyssa. And, you know, we talk about the challenge for Iowa State, which has now evolved into a national program under Fred Hoiberg, bringing it back to the Johnny Orr days. And now Steve Prohm, who did a great job at Murray State, has to step up, if you will, you know, with the big boys in the Big 12. And he's got a lot of pieces there, but with that comes expectations. And probably one of the most difficult ways to enter a job when you go from mid-major to high major is when you have expectations of kids that have done a lot of great things returning. And can you keep them focused and motivated now that they just lost, if you will, their leader and the guy that recruited them, and Fred Hoiberg?
Is this a solid hire? Because I have to be honestly, I have not heard a lot about Steve Prohm. I mean, what was your reaction to the hire?
I was happy for him. You know, here's a guy who, you know, doesn't have the pedigree. You know, here's a guy who had to earn his way up, was an assistant coach at Centenary, you know, had a couple of opportunities as an assistant in a variety of places, and eventually when Billy Kennedy did great things at Murray State, the assistant got the job, and Prohm has been able to keep things going there at Murray State and has done a great job finding undiscovered talent. Campaign, who's a big, who's maybe a top 12 recruit, top 12 player in this draft, who's really evolved as first-round pick. And then before that, you had Isaiah Cannon, who was another undiscovered talent that was able to make it to the NBA. Now at Iowa State, you're recruiting guys that you hope are draft picks, and he's got a couple of good ones there on the roster. Can he get them to continue to be hungry and recruit now high major players? Because that's what it's going to take to win in the Big 12.
Absolutely. And when you look at the numbers and what he was able to produce, 104-29 at four seasons, Steve Prohm was at Murray State. He built a winning program. What's the biggest obstacle that he will face as he crosses over into the prestigious, the Big 12 Conference?
I think, for sure, the biggest thing is, you know, he's never recruited high major players against high major programs. So now he's got to recruit against Bill Self in Kansas, who's picking amongst the McDonald's All-Americans on who's good enough to go there, or Lon Kruger at Oklahoma, Shaka Smart at Texas. I mean, he now really has his hands full in trying to sell the Iowa State story with him in it. And so that's a challenge, I think. And I think the second part of it, as far as the challenge goes, is just Murray State's a big fish in that Ohio Valley Conference.
Lee Klein is with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show, the contributor with Slam Magazine. Of course, the five-star basketball camp, it is underway this weekend in Orlando, Florida. So, Steve Prohm, the new head coach at Iowa State, what kind of team, Lee, does he inherit?
Well, he's got the big three components that you need to compete for a national championship back. He's got a great point guard in Monty Morris, who's amongst the leaders in assist to turnovers and has really evolved into one of the best guards in the country, maybe the best guard coming back in America. Then you have on the post the real rim protector, inside enforcer, and Jameel McKay, who emerged really for the Cyclones last season. And then the third piece of the puzzle is one of the guys that will go down as the all-time great Cyclone players in Georges Niang, who will be looking for senior year to make a great impact and maybe the most versatile player in all college basketball, what he could do inside, outside, passing the ball. So with those pieces back, the Cyclone fans are expecting big things, and Steve Prohm's going to have to step up in a hurry and be able to deliver because, you know, two of those guys will be seniors, one's going to be a junior, and who knows what will happen after that. So that's the big challenge ahead of them.
Is this a top 10 team? I mean, or is this a team that really has a legitimate shot at making a Final Four run?
I think it does have a shot at making a Final Four run. I mean, we're talking about probably a top 15 team, I would say, ranked going into the season. And then depending on health and things like that, Naz Long, who's been a contributor, had surgery after the season. He's out a few months. How well does he come back? I think that's a critical piece. And a few other late breaking, in the transfer, stays and goes and who improves over the summer will determine it. But this is a team that will be a force and has an opportunity to make a deep run, maybe the Final Four or sweep or return back to the Sweet 16 where Fred Hoiberg was able to get them a couple years ago.
Breaking news out of the Big 12 Conference, they have hired the new head coach at Iowa State. And, of course, we are discussing that right now. His name is Steve Prohm, but Lee Klein is with us. And so what kind of style of play do you think Coach Prohm is going to bring to the table and with his Cyclones?
I think he's been known for a lot of offensive flexibility. And now one of the things that I think college basketball missed the most is how exciting an offense Fred Hoiberg was able to install there at Iowa State,
right?
Spacing and the movement. I think that Prohm will try to continue the same sort of let's score, let's push the basketball, and let's move it. If the ball stands, we die. So I think you'll get a lot of that, and he's been able to really take dynamic guards and develop them into NBA players.
You are listening to the voice of Lee Klein, contributor with Slam Magazine, a regular contributor on our show each and every week. We're going to step aside for a quick commercial break. We'll be rejoined. Hey, I want to talk to Lee Klein. We've not had a chance to get into this, but how about Alabama's decision to hire Avery Johnson? I'm going to get his thoughts after this quick timeout. Welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. Remember to listen to the show on the go. As always, just download the Yahoo Sports Radio app by searching Yahoo Sports Radio in your app store, and you can listen on any computer or smart device by going to streamysr.com. That's streamysr.com. Normal data rates apply. Right now, we are going one-on-one with Lee Klein. We've been discussing some college news and notes, and one of the guys we've not had a chance, Lee, to discuss and highlight is the fact that Avery Johnson is now the new head men's basketball coach at the University of Alabama. Your thoughts and reaction to this decision?
Well, I'm a big believer in Avery Johnson. I thought he was one of the finest people that you can meet. Does a great job, had success in the NBA level. And I think when you talk about who do you want to lead your program, represent your institution for Alabama, I don't think you could find a better guy than Avery Johnson to be the face of your program. Now, can he be successful there where football dominates and in an SEC that right now is, you know, is Kentucky blue, painted Kentucky blue with a couple of, couple of up and coming programs with Ben Howland and Mississippi State and, a couple of challenges. You'll see Bruce Pearl and Auburn get good quickly. So how's Alabama? What's their personality going to be as a program? And I think Avery Johnson will get kids to play hard. I think that it's going to take a couple of years to repair the roster and get players that are going to be capable of winning, you know, getting high major players that can, that can win in a big stage. So I think he's going to need some time there. But I think they'll overachieve early, and eventually he'll start winning not just the in-state kids, but he'll start winning on a national level in getting high major players to wear the crimson tie.
You were highlighting the SEC. I mean, they've been pretty aggressive in securing some big-name coaches. You're talking about Rick Barnes, I mean, Bruce Pearl, and Ben Howland, and now, of course, Avery Johnson.
Yeah, and I think that's a tribute in some to the success of the league. And, you know, keeping up with Kentucky is a pressure that every institution is going to face when you talk about it, you know, from the basketball side. You got transition with a lot of these programs. Florida, you know, said goodbye to Billy Donovan, and that, what will that mean for their program? So I think people see there's an opportunity that the SEC is playing on a big stage. They have an opportunity to maybe not leapfrog the ACC and the Big Ten, but certainly get the same sort of respect, and they've been able to have the success on the court by continually producing high-level teams led by Kentucky. Florida was very good for a while. But now I think that opportunity to step in there as a national program based on the strength of the league has really gotten presidents to be aggressive and luring top talent.
How would you rank the SEC conference? How does it compare to, say, like a Big 12?
I think that, going in to next, to next year, you're going to have some transition. So I think it's behind the Big 12. It's probably, I think the, we talk about it overall for the best conferences. I think the Big Ten, the ACC are by far the top two. And then I think you've got the, the Big 12 and the SEC going into next year. And the Pac-12 will also be, I think the Pac-12 will be better as well. So I think SEC will be four of the Power Five.
The contributor with Slam Magazine owns and operates the five-star basketball camp. Lee Klein, a regular guest at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Remember, we'd love to hear from you and connect with you. You can join us at Twitter at eRadioSports, and you can email the show at Elissa@YahooSportsRadio.com. I want to back up just a moment, talking about this recent hire, what was in the month of April, Avery Johnson coming on board at Alabama. What about his NBA experience, his background? I mean, that's got to be huge, and obviously I see that translating to success in the SEC, and perhaps it won't take, as you were saying, a couple of years to get his footing.
Well, here's the thing. You're recruiting kids that want to – everyone now, the majority of the high major player is going to college as its path to go to the NBA. So to have somebody who knows what it takes to be successful, not just as a player, but as a coach in the NBA, is a huge advantage for Alabama in competing against the other program.
Right.
So I think he's a likable guy. I think he's an inspirational leader. He's got a son that's playing SEC basketball that's going to end up transferring to Alabama. I think that he gets it. I think he understands kids. He gets it. He knows what it's going to take to be at the next level. And now he's got to get the kids that that believe in him, that believe in his message and want to embrace the challenge of an Alabama program that quite honestly needs to reinvent itself on the court, which, an identity crisis. he's the answer to the identity crisis that the program's had the last few years.
You know, it's interestingly, you had just mentioned Avery Johnson's son, Avery Johnson Jr., and what he just finished up his freshman year at Texas A&M. I've not seen him play. I mean, evaluate his game. How would you rank that? And the kind of impact, as you're talking about Alabama's a program, they're trying to establish an identity. What kind of impact could he potentially even have?
It's going to take some time. He'll sit. I think you got to sit out a year. They played limited minutes for A&M this year as a freshman on a guard-heavy team. So it's, I think it's going to – the most important thing that he could provide is similar to what his dad did, if you will, for the great teams that he played when he played on the Spurs and places like that. Being a liaison to the coach, really pushing kids in practice, being a vocal leader, and producing when called upon on the court. I think he's not ready to shine. I think as a senior, he'll be a four-year kid that as a senior will be a valuable contributor. But it's going to take some physically, to be able to compete at the high major level, on the top level of this SEC for him and get, major minutes.
Okay, the other big news, the NCAA adopts men's basketball rules, multiple rule changes to men's basketball that we can look forward to in the 2015-2016 season, starting with the 30-second clock. We're quickly running out of time, but just give us a hit on that, and then we'll discuss that next week as well.
The closer the college game gets to the NBA game, the better it is, because that's transition that kids want to make. It will not be the end-all cure to what ails offense in college basketball, but I think it's a strong move to make. I would love to have seen a 24-second clock just so that we can get back to play and less overcoaching that we talked about in the past, where kids go and make plays and teach kids on how to make plays and think the game, instead of trying to control every possession.
Well, I hope ultimately it will improve scoring and make it more of an enjoyable game. Hey, Lee Klein has been with us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Thank you so much, Lee.
My pleasure.
Have fun at the camp. Hey, we're going to get into some MLB talk right after this quick commercial break. We will be right back. Universal Fluids is a proud sponsor of the Big E Sports Show at Yahoo Sports Radio, specializing in drilling fluids and production chemicals. Based in Houston, Universal Fluids has built its reputation on the highest quality products and customer service for oil field providers and production industries. Universal Fluids can service anywhere in the U.S. and available 24/7. Think Universal Fluids, the market leader in providing solutions for oil and gas production problems. Elissa Walker Campbell, glad you're with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Connect with us online at eRadio Sports, and you can email the show at Elissa@yahoosportsradio.com. Always check out our podcast page, yahoosportsradio.com/podcast, and also go to ysrsuperweek.com. One lucky listener of our show will be joining us at the Palazzo for 3 days and 2 nights in July. Looking forward to that. That's going to be coming up just around the corner. Well, right now, so excited to be catching up with Andy Pondillo for our MLB news and notes.
Always a pleasure to be here.
Okay, I'm a little bit concerned, and let me tell you why. All right, so what's going on with the Astros? They're going through a little bit of a mini losing streak. This is all part of the regular season?
Well, that's what happens during a 162-game season. Every team's going to have it. Concerning thing is you have hitters in this lineup who really haven't contributed the way they should the entire season. You give them a pass when you're winning. Now that they aren't winning as much, you start to wonder, will they make a move? Will Chris Carter, will Luis Valbuena remain on this roster much longer? Because batting 185 and 190s, I guess you can give them a pass again when you're winning and you're in May, but midway into June, they're going to have to do more. The Astros, if they continue to lose, they're going to be people that I pick on, fans pick on, everyone's going to pick on, because they're going to be a big percentage of the reason why they can't score runs.
Okay, so when you hit a brick wall like this, how do you get yourself going again and get back on track and to the Houston Astros, those winning ways?
Well, they've started by bringing Carlos Correa up to the major leagues. That's a start, but
right.
He can't be your savior. He can't look for the number one prospect in the world Yeah, you would think that he's going to be your best player immediately, and they say that no matter what team he plays on, no matter what level, he's the best player on the field, and I believe that watching the guy. Yet you can't expect a 20-year-old kid to change the dynamic of this team. They've got to start finding ways to score runs when they're not hitting home runs. Such a high percentage of runs scored this year, about 50% almost runs scored off the home run ball. It's nice. Again, it's one of those things that's nice when you're winning. It's nice when everybody's hot. People aren't going to stay hot for long periods of time. It's going to come. It's going to go. You got to find ways to get on base. You got to find ways to manufacture runs. So I think a lot of this has to do with the offense. The pitching has its issues when it comes to depth in the starting rotation, but I do believe it's enough right now to keep their winning ways up through July until they make a move. So I look at mostly offense right now being the culprit of why they're not winning as much as they have been.
Okay, glad you're with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Elissa Walker Campbell, some MLB news and notes with Andy Pondillo. We've been hitting a lot on the Astros over the past couple of weeks. Let's transition. Let's head out to the NL West. Chris Heston, we already talked about this in hour number one, throws a no-hitter, what was it, on Tuesday night for the Giants. And I have to say, I mean, Andy, we were talking about this too. I mean, the Giants are one of the funnest teams to watch.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun. The NL West is a lot of fun, in my opinion, this year. The Giants, they got what I like to call baseball swag, and that it doesn't matter who comes to this team. It doesn't matter who's hurt. It really just, they keep finding a way, and they've become a staple organization. The most interesting thing is they're winning on an odd season, which is unusual for them. It's usually the even seasons they start doing this kind of stuff. Let's see if they hang in this race a long time. Let's see if they stay above the Padres. Can they compete with the Dodgers all the way to the end of the year? There's still some question marks with the team. Just as fun as any team to watch. And if they get in a postseason play, they are the last opponent anybody in the NL wants to face.
Okay, so they're second in their division right now. Can they compete with the Dodgers?
I think they can hang with the Dodgers. If I'm a betting man, which I wouldn't bet on sports, but if I did, I would bet on the Dodgers division still. I think that's a complete postseason. Everyone wrong thus far with this crop of players they've had, not able to get deep in postseason play. However, Giants are a team that can. It's always an interesting dynamic in how these two teams play out. I think it goes all the way to the end of the year. The Padres will also hang around. You could see a good three-team race in the NL West. It should be a lot of fun this summer. We talk about the AL East being down a lot. It's Yankees, not as good. If I'm the national media, this is where I'm focusing right now. The Dodgers, Giants, two great fan bases, historic rivals, a third little brother in the San Diego Padres. This is a division I want to focus on if I'm a national writer.
Okay, Andy Pondillo with us at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. And so, the San Francisco Giants, they have surpassed many expectations this season with this record. What is your confidence level that they'll be able to get really hot and to win it all like they did last year? Is this a championship team?
Doesn't rock my socks off right now. While it's solid, it's been getting the job done. The offense has been middle of the pack. The thing about them is they find ways to win, and no matter how many times that I disregard them, that the national media disregards them, and even though it's an odd year, they're sure playing like they have that opportunity to where if they get in postseason play, if they enter through a wild card, they could run the table once again. All starts with Madison Bumgarner, the most clutch starting pitcher I've ever seen in playoff history. And then you got Tim Lincecum, who's starting to throw well. And it's been years since Tim Lincecum looked like that old version of Timmy. He's relearned how to pitch. He's pitching with his off-speed stuff, not a whole lot of velocity on the fastball. Maybe he started to figure a thing out or two. Real X factor for the San Francisco Giants is Matt Cain coming off the disabled list. For them to run down the Dodgers to win the division, they need a Matt Cain who at least is 75% of what he used to be. And 75% of what he used to be makes him a solid number two or three pitcher in that rotation.
So, Andy, are the Dodgers, are they the most complete team in baseball?
On paper, they're the most complete team, definitely. I don't know what you can expect for them in postseason play because it becomes a different animal. Clayton Kershaw, the flip switches, I don't know what happens to him. They've definitely reconstructed quite a bit of that lineup this year, and it's actually, you can make the case it's a better lineup going into postseason play this year, assuming that they make it, assuming that they stay healthy and everyone produces the way they are. You know, I thought after Matt Kemp left, I thought after Hanley Ramirez left, you're going to leave a lot of run production on the table. But Jock Peterson, the rookie, the center fielder, he certainly covered for that. Howie Kendrick was definitely a nice addition at second base. So This team, they lost some pieces, but the pieces they gained have been mighty valuable. And I can't think of a team in the National League on paper, I have to keep saying it, on paper, that I would rather be right now than the Los Angeles Dodgers.
You know, Andy, I have to wonder what the legacy of this roster, of the Dodgers, this version of the Dodgers, if they never win the World Series, what will it be as we look back, say, what, 10, 20, 30 years from now?
Well, they'll be similar to the Cleveland Indians in the late 90s, a team that was always stacked, the Indians. I mean, this team was absolutely loaded. At one point had Manny Ramirez batting seventh when he first came up. They had so much offense on that team. So you look at the Dodgers, maybe they haven't always been the mashers like that, but they have had some rotations that are just absolutely incredible, historical rotations, you could argue. And with Clayton Kershaw and Zach Greinke 1-2, I can't think of a better 1-2 in the National League year in and year out. This team should be devastating the division series. They lost in that series last year. Kershaw lost two games last year in that series. So it's just everything is set perfectly for the Dodgers to make that run. And though the Cardinals may have a better regular season record this year, just because they play in the National League Central, they can beat up on some pretty poor teams. I think going into postseason play, if you look at one roster, the Dodgers should stand out to everybody. Though, do people still believe in them after their shortcomings of postseason play?
Okay, Andy Pondillo has been with us at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. We're going to step aside for a quick commercial break. We will be rejoined with Andy Pondillo as we continue our MLB update. Universal Fluids is a proud sponsor of the Big E Sports Show at Yahoo Sports Radio, specializing in drilling fluids and production chemicals. Based in Houston, Universal Fluids has built its reputation on the highest quality products and customer service for oil field providers and production industries. Universal Fluids can service anywhere in the U.S. and available 24/7. Think Universal Fluids, the market leader in providing solutions for oil and gas production problems. Fastest 2 hours in radio coming your way right here at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Remember, listen to the show on the go. Just download the Yahoo Sports Radio app by searching Yahoo Sports Radio in your app store. We're going to continue our conversation with our very own Andy Pondillo. We've been talking so much about the San Francisco Giants and, of course, the Dodgers before we went to commercial break. I want to get your thoughts on the leadership of manager Don Mattingly. I mean, you're talking about here this roster, it's loaded. You know, how will they be able to meet expectations this year? What kind of job is he doing? Is he feeling some heat? Is he feeling some pressure, Andy?
Well, the resume looks nice because the wins and losses are going to be good every single year from Mattingly. You know, taking the torches back from Joe Torre, his assistant for many years. So it's hard to really judge a guy like Mattingly because he didn't really build this team. This team wasn't his project, and that's something that a lot of major league managers don't do because it's handed to the GMs now. However, sometimes you just get more of this vibe, this team vibe with a Tony La Russa and the Cardinals, where not all of these guys are superstars, and a lot of them come up through the system, and yeah, you know, it's different. It's just a different environment. Not to say the Dodgers haven't had some really good players come up through their system, but I just don't think that's how Don Mattingly is viewed. Right now, he's viewed by whatever he does in postseason play, and I would imagine with Dodgers fans, it's World Series or bust, so if he doesn't get them a championship soon, or at least get them there, get them an NL pennant, I don't know if he makes it to next season. If he has a first round out, if he doesn't make the postseason, anything like that, I think he's out after this year. He'll be let go along with his entire staff. The demand to win right now is extreme in Dodger Town. And you got to remember, this organization, they haven't been to a World Series since Kirk Gibson hit that dramatic walk-off home run and they beat the A's. That's a long time now. A lot of people don't realize the Dodgers have one of the longer World Series droughts in all of baseball.
Okay, and so as we said before, I mean, the Dodgers are the most complete team in baseball. Andy, I mean, do you believe that he's a closer, that he's got the leadership, and that he can get these guys to believe ultimately so that they can win?
I think he's a good motivator. I don't know. From what I've seen, I don't watch him on a daily basis, but from what I've seen, there's been times where I've questioned the way that he's handled his pitchers. There's been times I've questioned the way that he organized his lineup when it came to postseason play, but that's not really anything that's going to make you win or lose in a division series last year. The reason they didn't win is because Clayton Kershaw couldn't outduel the Cardinals pitching staff, and I feel like that was the biggest thing. If Clayton Kershaw pitches like Clayton Kershaw in postseason play, they're going to win almost every single time because this guy is the most dominant pitcher in the game when he's on, and this year it's been Zach Greinke. But you just got to imagine these two in a postseason series, they should just automatically shut guys down. Yet year in and year out, it's Madison Bumgarner instead. And the St. Louis Cardinals running out their barrage of pitchers that change from year to year that get the job done. It goes against baseball logic sometimes, and it's going to fall on Mattingly whichever way you dice it up. He can't go out there and pitch for these guys. I usually don't blame the managers, but I guess I could understand the Dodgers if they gave him the axe after this season. With the teams he's been given and not able to get to a World Series, it's going to look badly on him.
Well, there are question marks everywhere, but what about, is there even a greater sense of hope with Puig's return? I mean, he only played in, 13 games this season. He was out. He's been on the disabled list. What kind of impact can he have?
He's the athlete on the team. The Dodgers have a lot of good hitters. They have a lot of good pitchers. But I wouldn't necessarily say they have those five-tool athletes on their team, which is an interesting way they've been able to build such a good lineup without that. And they just have raw hitters on their team. Justin Turner, raw hitter. Adrian Gonzalez, power, raw hitter. Jacques Peterson hitting the home runs, but necessarily not stealing the bases. Yasiel Puig is one guy that's different in this lineup. The guy that's going to steal you 20 bases. The guy that's going to hit you 20 home runs. The guy that could bat 300. We definitely know about his adventures in the outfield, his adventures on the base pass. Hopefully he's starting to mature now a couple years in the league. He is the X factor in the lineup. He completely shut down in postseason play last year. Down the stretch for the Dodgers, they're going to need him. Giants are, while the Dodgers, I feel like, have a far superior on paper roster than the Giants just aren't going to go down easy. The Padres, I think, will win over 83, 84, 85 games. So they're going to have to continue competing in order to win this division. And Puig is the guy that can win you a game with multiple facets, the guy you want on your team for a 4-3, a 3-2 game.
Okay, what about some of the other teams out of the West, the Rockies, the Diamondbacks? Start with the Rockies. Give us your view.
I think they should tank. I think they should just blow the whole team up right now.
Come on, Andy.
The organization has really no vision as to where they're going, in my opinion. And they got some pretty nice superstars on their team. And Troy Tulowitzki, Carlos Gonzalez. Though they maybe haven't been producing the way that they used to, they're guys that a lot of teams would love to get their hands on still. Teams that believe that if you put them in a winning situation, maybe they find that old stroke. So if I'm the Rockies at this point, they don't have great pitching. The offense isn't what it used to be. They play in that gigantic ballpark where you can't just bring free agents in, pitching at least, that want to pitch there. They don't want to pitch for a team that's going to get beaten up by the Giants and Dodgers year in and year out. So the only way you're going to get free agents is to overpay. It's not a good situation for them. Situation that we've seen teams in before, and the best way to fix it is to not say you're tanking, but really tank and just blow the whole roster up. Get high round picks year in, year out. Do it for a couple years. Get these guys, sign them. You have them under club control for a while and start this thing over. That's the best thing I could advise for the Rockies. It's worked for different organizations. It's worked for the Cubs. It's worked for the Astros. I think the Rockies should be the next team just to blow it all up.
Okay, how do the Diamondbacks, what do they need to do to make some improvements and get to those good old days with Randy Johnson?
Blow it up.
Come
I think
on.
They need to blow it up. Both of them need to start from scratch. Paul Goldschmidt's the one guy I would keep, even though he would net a huge return. Goldschmidt's one of those rare talents, a top three, top four player you're not going to find very often. I overpay him and try and get him signed to as long as a deal as I possibly can. Those long deals hardly ever work, but when I see a pure hitter like Paul Goldschmidt, I want him in my organization for as long as I can possibly keep him. I keep him. The rest of the pieces, I explain to Goldschmidt that, look, this is the situation. There has been some young talent that's passed through here. We haven't been able to put it all together. Maybe it would be better if we just blow the thing up. I think the Diamondbacks could get back to prominence a little sooner than the Rockies could. And I would try and start this thing over, go under a 2-3 year project of drafting high. They just had the first overall pick in the draft here this year. So maybe a couple more of those in the top three. It could change this organization quicker than maybe some would imagine through the draft.
It's an extended conversation with our very own Andy Pondillo tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. He's joining us, of course, on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. Okay, what about the Padres? I mean, they're a good team, but gosh, your heart just goes out to them because they're in such a tough division.
They're a good team. They're not a great team. They spent a lot of money this offseason. They have the pieces to stay good for a while. Love that middle of the order with Will Myers, Justin Upton, Matt Kemp. You know, we talk about guys in a lineup. We're talking about athletes. We're talking about guys with tools. They definitely have a toolsy lineup where these guys can do different things. I like the direction this organization is headed. A lot of veterans, a lot of guys that could get hurt. So that's always going to be concerning when it comes to the Padres. Craig Kimbrell closing for that team now. Andrew Cashner in that rotation. They definitely have the pieces. James Shields. I like their future. I don't think this season. I still think they have a few more pieces they need to add. If they're going to keep spending big, they might as well keep going with it because they've already started to open up that pocketbook. Why not double down? Maybe even get another pitcher in the offseason, and then I'm willing to put this team at the top of the division. I don't think they're quite there, regardless for how the Padres have played in recent seasons for that fan base. Anything over 85 wins this season, I think, is very acceptable for that organization to start to move the needle in the right direction.
Well, would you agree they'd probably be at the top of a few divisions in the American League?
If you put them in the American League East, they're in first place right now, easily
right.
Beating up on some of those teams. NLS is a tough division, not necessarily because it's deep, because you have two pretty bad teams in the division, but it's hard when you have two really, really strong teams on the top. It's definitely going to water down your win total a little bit.
Always our go-to guy, Andy Pondillo, tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Thank you, Andy. Have a great weekend.
Always fun to join you.
Time to thank all of our special guests and our lineup. Lee Klein, a contributor with Slam Magazine. Of course, there was Andy Pondillo with us. J.R. Richard, the ultimate standout pitcher with the Astros in the 70s. Andrew Baggerly, author, sports writer, and commentator, and our very own Mark Spears of Yahoo Sports. I'm Elissa Walker-Campbell. Enjoy the NBA Finals on Sunday. Remember, don't drink and drive. We'll see you each and every weekend for the biggest, the best in sports right here at Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Saving money on your kitchen projects at Menards. We carry everything you need to turn your kitchen dreams into reality. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles and finishes with free shipping to your home. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free estimates today. Plus, get 15% off everything you can fit in the bag. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
We're here at Menards Bank Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint.
Batteries.
Tools.
Toilet paper.
Extension cords. Grocery items.
Hardware for my cabinets.
Snack items. Crackers and some canned good stuff.
Shop vac supplies.
Toothpaste. Cereal. Coffee. Dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.